Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary
with Rod Oram. Kia ora, Rod. How are you this morning?
Oh, Miranda and Rachel, very well, thank you.
It's very nice to be able to chat to you today, and kind of exciting because a big conference is happening over in Glasgow. It's COP26, and it's all about climate change. Do you want to explain a little bit about what this conference is? I know you're heading over there to do some reporting.
Yes, this is the annual United Nations Climate Negotiations, and COP stands for Conference of the Parties, and this is the 26th one, and in many ways the most important one. COP21 back in 2015 in Paris, we got the Paris Agreement with countries making commitments to reduce emissions, but those commitments are not anywhere nearly deep enough, and that applies very much to New Zealand as well.
Mm.
And therefore, the pressure is really on at this COP because to come up with some really big commitments and to get very serious about delivering on them, because that's what climate science is telling us. That's what we're seeing with our own eyes about the speed with which the climate crisis is advancing.
Now, I want to talk a bit more about the actual conference itself, but I think we should talk briefly about some stuff that's hit the media. This is about James Shaw, co-leader of the Green Party, heading over there with, I think, about 10 associates. This has been criticised by some other political folks and commentators for being too many people heading overseas in the middle of a crisis when people are struggling to get home to Aotearoa through the MIQ system. Do you think it's reasonable, the number of people he's taking over with them, and why would he be taking people in the first place?
The first question is, why would New Zealand want to be in Glasgow for those first 2 weeks of November and the pre-conference before it? It's because this is literally every nation of the world gathering to try to make a commitment for humanity's future. So are people seriously saying that New Zealand shouldn't be represented there? The UK, who is the host with Italy for this year, and the UN have made it very clear this cannot be an online conference. We know from every COP that the biggest commitments, the biggest decisions are made as they approach the absolutely rock-solid deadline of midnight on the last day to reach agreement. That's what happened at Paris. There is no substitute for looking somebody right in the eyes, not in the screen, right in the eyes to see where their real commitment is. That's why it's important to be there in person. The New Zealand delegation, the political and public servant side of the delegation, will be 15 people, about five from already based overseas, and then the 10 that are going from New Zealand. That's a very small delegation. I know we are a small country, but we have a history and a reputation in international forum, not the least of which in the climate negotiations, for being a very creative and honest broker that breaks deadlocks. We did that in Paris in 2015. It's really important that somebody is there from New Zealand, and preferably somebody very capable like Shaw.
Now, tell us a little bit more about what we can expect to come out of COP26, because as you say, and as other people have noted as well, this is the most important climate change meeting of nations since Paris. What can we expect to see, and what would you hope to see come out of this?
It's very important to recognise, in essence, there are two parts of COP that work together. There is the intergovernmental climate negotiations, which is around commitments by those countries to reduce emissions, to contribute funding to developed countries, for example, but crucially to write and agree on the rule book by which, for example, emissions are counted or carbon credits are sold. All that is very important governmental stuff. On that front, it will be very difficult to reach much more, as big an agreement as we need. For the very simple politics comes into this. So, for example, in 2015, the US and China worked together going into COP, which offered real leadership in 2015.
Mm.
This time, the relations between China and the US are at a very low ebb. And China has made it very clear that you can't just sort of single out an issue and say, let's work together on climate. when we have big disagreements mm-hmm. about each other's foreign policy, for example. So in the absence of good relations between those two, it will be harder. It's really important that there is big governmental progress, but there will probably not be as much as we want. Let's at least get the rules right. That would be a big help. And to get some big individual commitments from countries. Mm-hmm. And again, New Zealand is already 2 months late, missed the deadline for increasing its nationally determined contribution, as it's called. But the other side of COP is the gathering of civil society from around the world. That's the larger proportion of delegates in this conference, which will be about 20,000 people. And so it's people from NGOs, it's people from civil society, from business, from interfaith groups, from indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And there is this very rich, very massive program of side events all the way through COP that are happening alongside the political negotiations. And that's where people of the world are coming together with all their best ideas, their biggest hopes, their greatest fears, to share that knowledge and to share that ambition. And I think that's actually, in many ways, the more important part of COP, because we've got beyond the point now where we were saying, well, climate change is so difficult that there's a big burden to be shared here as to how we address it. Now the speed with which clean energy is developing, for example, mm-hmm. the gains are very clear. And so this is about encouraging each other in those gains rather than still arguing about how to share that pain.
Now, just before we run out of time, I did want to get your thoughts on how New Zealand is tracking, because as you say, we are behind on some of our major targets. We're also, often necessary as an amplifying voice for other nations in the Pacific who have smaller delegations or who need that amplification of their own concerns. What do you think New Zealand should be looking for ourselves as a nation and also our Pacific counterparts through this conference?
Our first seriously big need is to increase our national determined contribution, which is absolutely consistent with keeping the rise in temperatures to only 1.5 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we are very far north of that. We are very far short of a 50% reduction of emissions by 2030, taking account of all gases, so not an easy ride for methane, for example. And the government has been very slow on coming out with its NDC. I don't think it will be out before COP, but it's very late. And then the next thing is that the government was supposed by statute by the end of this year to come up with its emissions reduction plan, which is its overall architecture of how it was going to transition us to a low emissions economy, responding to the recommendations that our Climate Change Commission has made to it. But the government has slipped on that deadline mm-hmm. and is now saying, well, we'll get that all sorted out by the budget of May next year. This is fundamentally a very dangerous sign that the government can only do one thing at a time, which is COVID. And I appreciate they're doing a decent job on COVID. But whilst other people are working on COVID, there should still be people left in government doing other stuff, and they haven't been doing this. And that's a very bad sign. So I wrote in my newsroom column last weekend that whilst the rest of the world is ramping up the intensity of its engagement as they head towards Glasgow, New Zealand is limping off to the sidelines.
Mm. Well, it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of it. And we'll look forward to chatting to you on the other side, Rod, when you're back with all the inside scoop from it. How long are you away for?
I'm away for 2 months. So please, please do call me, and I would love to talk to you from the UK, because I'm doing 5 weeks of climate reporting before COP and then 2 weeks of COP. And I'd love to be able to talk to you from there. There's just going to be this extraordinary wealth of knowledge I hope to gain and thus to share.
Oh, excellent. Well, we would absolutely love that, Rod. Have a safe travels over there, and we'll talk to you from the UK next time.
Thank you.
Ka kite, see you soon.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Rod.